This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
That's a new day. I'm Rhett Palmer. How are you? Glad you're tuned in. I have two exciting people here, Bill and Annie. Bill, of course, works for NCIS. He has in the past, the TV show. Among other things, he's also an actor. And Annie, his wife, is an actress. And, well, we're here to talk about how they deal with Jesus in Hollywood and stuff. So, Annie, welcome to the show. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rhett.
Okay, nice, let's go to Annie first, ladies first. So, at what point in your life, where are you from, and when did you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
I'm originally from the Bronx, and I've known Jesus since I was about 4 or 5 years old.
Okay, what brought about your connection? You said you had an epiphany experience, right?
Well, you know something, I wouldn't really call it an epiphany. I would just call it just a knowing, just a comfortable knowing that I had someone protecting me at all times.
Were you in church at the time?
I was in church, yeah. I started out in Catholicism. And I would go to church by myself, and I would sit and meditate on the Lord. And I knew that He was with me.
That's pretty remarkable for a 4 or 5 year old.
Well, I mean, now, I started out, I mean, I knew then that he was the one that was with me. When I was going to church by myself, I wasn't that young. I was probably more like maybe 8 or 9. Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big stretch there, right? My legs were longer.
So, yeah. So, there was abuse and there was sexual abuse in your childhood home. So, you end up living with your aunt. Your aunt was very sweet and kind and a devout Catholic.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And so that probably influenced you, too, that she lived the faith instead of just...
Very kind person.
Very kind person.
Very kind, and she would just go out of her way to, you know, give you the focus, even if she was busy. A lot of people are not like that. It's like, don't bother me, right? Go away, kid. Don't bother me. She was not like that.
Yeah.
She would stop what she was doing, and she would give you her full focus.
Now, you know, your husband, Bill, he had an epiphany experience when he was younger. We'll get to that in a moment. But did you get involved in the drug world, too, or all that stuff in Hollywood? And
I smoked marijuana.
No.
Yeah.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
That's as bad as you got.
I had anxiety as a child because of my situation.
Yeah.
And I found that smoking
Going to Hollywood, and did you find it hard to be in Hollywood and be a Christian?
Not in the beginning, no. Not in the beginning, because I kind of, I went along with some stuff that wasn't really horrendous, but it still was beyond being a devout Christian. And then, as it went
until
along...
Until they wanted you to be a gay vegetable?
Well, I played the gay vegetable.
Oh, you did?
No, I mean, I played the gay, praying mantis. What was it? Not that's an insect. It's those plants.
Venus flytrap.
Yes.
In blue jeans.
Yes, because I was a dancer for a long time, too. Aside from being an actress, I was in dance theater, and I studied in New York.
Well, that's true. You were a choreographer.
I was
a
choreographer.
So did you work on Broadway?
No, I didn't. No, I was with a company in the San Francisco Bay Area where I did some choreography there, and in Seattle, I worked at a couple of workshops up there where I submitted myself as a choreographer, and they hired me, and I did some stuff there.
So Jesus, though, has been an important part of your life.
Yes, absolutely.
How? Tell us.
Well, He saved me from so many, aside from my own salvation, which I never asked for, but He gave it to me, you know, free of charge. I have been in so many car accidents. I have been threatened by people. I have been chased down the street in New York by a bunch of guys that could have done anything to me. And all of a sudden, I was like flying over the street. I felt like I flew away from these people. Mm. That was one incident. But the car accidents, I mean, I've been in horrific car accidents, and I have survived all of them.
Something you consider miraculous intervention?
Miraculous intervention, no question about it.
Yeah, really? Did you ever see an angel or feel a presence during these things? Or?
You know, I have, what I saw actually was not angels. The devil has always been at my back. The devil knows how vulnerable I am, how sensitive I am. I'm a hypersensitive person. He's always at me.
But his greatest ploy is to make us think he doesn't exist.
That's right. I've seen demonic people. I have, and they have revealed themselves to me as demonic people in Hollywood.
Well, that's a gift of discernment, I believe. You've seen them in Hollywood.
I've seen them in Hollywood, yes. And I had one guy, I was doing some, getting my plants refurbished at this one place, a garden shop, around 5 o'clock at night. I went down to get my plants, and there was nobody there except the guy that, I guess, owned the place. And so I went to get my plants, and... thought it was strange that the guy was looking at me, and it gave me the creeps. You know, I just went, I got to get my plants and get out of here now.
Yeah.
So I'm going out to my car, and he follows me out to halfway to my car, and he looks at me straight in the eye, and he says, "You know who my father is, don't you?" And I said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And
really?
That guy shriveled back, yeah. He said, "You know who my father is, don't you?"
Wow, that's bizarre.
It was so bizarre. I couldn't stop thinking about it for months. I never went back to that nursery, by the way.
I'm not going to buy a Venus flytrap from you.
No, no way.
Now, let's get over to Bill. Yeah. Bill, you worked on NCIS
for 6 years.
Among
six
other
seasons.
Things, you've been an actor, you've been a cameraman,
writer,
producer and stuff. So you said you had an epiphany experience when you were 10?
It was amazing.
Where were you?
It was Saturday at a catechism class, a Catholic church, and it was just the presence of God in the room. I can close my eyes right now, Rhett, and still see it, and I hang on to that sometimes because I remember that feeling. I go, "Lord, let's go back to where we were then," because in that room I just felt completely enveloped in love, like not this cliche.
Now, wait a second. Now, you're sitting taking this class. Was there anything specifically, any scripture that was mentioned?
No.
Nothing.
It came out of nowhere. It was just she was teaching, and the teaching, I could hear what she was saying, and it kind of drifted away. I just felt this presence come in the room as if the Lord was standing in the room with me.
And you knew it was Jesus somehow.
Yeah. And I wanted to be with him. Then, as I mentioned before, that's when I wanted to be an altar boy, and then I went down those other roads, and then, of course, I dragged myself away into the world when I became of age and did my prodigal son old man trip.
Yeah. And what happened?
And ran from the pain, and ran from the disappointments and the things that I thought God was, and he just, basically I look upon it this way. The master potter has me on the wheel, and every so often I jump off the wheel. He's got to take me back again, slap me back down again, or start remolding again. He lets me run off when I want to. But the more I play in the mud, the more I realize I'm back with him. At this point in my life, I heard someone say, "I may fall down in the ark, but God's not going to let me fall out of the ark anymore."
Really?
Because I'm on his lap.
Was there one specific thing that finally... broke the camel's back.
What it is, I had to have 1,000 straws on my back because there was a whole number of things and bottoms that I had to slowly step up and come to him as he just led me through this long, big valley of the shadow of death to say, "I'm here with you, I'm here with you." He needed to have me trust him because I didn't trust him. I was like a wild stallion that got hurt. Everything that I learned in my religious upbringing was, if you did something wrong, God punished you because he was mad at you. So I returned that anger towards him by partying it away, anesthetizing the pain with anything I could. Pleasure, self, running. He knew where I came from. He knew what I went through. That's the amazing grace. He never left me.
You met him at 10 in the room, this feeling that overpowered you, you still thought he was a god of condemnation.
I learned that later when I got into my adolescent years.
That he wasn't.
Misinformation that I learned about God, that he's just punishing me. He must hate me because that's what I learned. If you're still doing this,
which is just what the evil one wants us to, because it says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance.
Exactly.
It's your kindness that leads us
to
repentance.
But I wasn't taught that.
Yeah.
That presence was separate from my catechism class. That came outside of that. Mm. I was taught there. It was all about mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima, mea culpa. It's all my fault all the time. My fault. I can't do enough rosaries. I'm losing my mind here. I can't stop this sin.
The Catholic guilt.
I must be going to hell. I thought, well, then I might as well go and have fun on the way.
Yeah. So what finally brought you to your senses like the prodigal son?
I would say after just hitting massive bottoms with overuse of cocaine and alcohol in the 80s and then coming to a church called Church on the Way in Van Nuys and just hitting bottom and just crying out, I need help. Please stop this.
Really? So it was a surrender? Would that be a good word?
Absolute surrender. It was like, I'll do anything. I don't want to do this anymore. This is not fulfilling me.
Mm.
This is emptiness.
Yeah.
Make the pain go away. Doesn't mean you don't stumble after that. Doesn't mean I didn't have a Saul of Tarsus experience where all of a sudden there I was, bingo. I still had to go trudging through this because the flesh won't give up.
Yeah. The attraction to sin.
He's there.
Yeah.
He kept pulling me through it and through it and through it and getting me more and more exposed to the Word. And the more I renewed my mind every day, which I do now, I've spent a good hour or two a day in the Word of God and being of service. And letting go, denying myself, dying to self, picking up that cross metaphor, which means just follow me. Because what does he say? My burden is easy. My yoke is light.
Well, we know we only grow in the valleys, and Jesus was a man acquainted with many sorrows. So who's ever out there experiencing sorrows, he uses those sorrows to bring you to your knees. Because when we fall to our knees, we touch heaven, right?
Amen.
All right. Well, Bill, I want to thank you for coming in. And Annie, thank you for coming in. If you want to hear the long interview I did with them, tune in, of course, in the afternoon from 3 to 4 right here. You can hear that broadcast in its entirety. I'm Rhett Palmer, and it's a new day. Remember, someone somewhere needs your random act of kindness, as it is written. Give unto others. Give unto others, and your light will rise out of the darkness like the noonday sun. Thanks for listening.
Dr. Martine DeCambray of Braces for Us has been creating healthy and beautiful smiles for adults, teens, and children in the Port St. Lucie community for over 10 years by blending art and science and using the best technology to create those beautiful smiles using the client's very own teeth. Located at 1620 Bayshore Boulevard, Port St. Lucie, Dr. DeCambray can be reached at 772-344-7771, online at bracesforus.com, and on Instagram at bracesforus_.
Far away in the depths of my spirit, rose a melody sweeter than song. In celestial strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite. Oh.